The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground this Sunday, January 8th, 10:46 in the morning. Glad you can join us wherever you might be listening. Jeffrey Childs in the air chair. Josh Zinke.
What you got?
Here in studio, Tony O to my right, and across the glass, the trusty Matt Missler.
I'm glad you trust me, because I don't even trust myself right now.
Glad we have that out of the way here as we
like a Lions running game. Segway.
The perfect segue, Miz. Talking about the Lions 26-6 loss to the Seahawks yesterday. And for that, we bring in our media guest this week, the managing editor at PrideOfDetroit.com, Jeremy Reisman. Jeremy, welcome to our show this morning.
Thanks for having me, fellas. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm okay.
You recovering?
Recovering. That's a good word for it.
Well, the Lions yesterday fell in their playoff game on the road to the Seattle Seahawks in a whimpering fashion, 26-6, as they've now lost 9 consecutive playoff games. And, Jeremy, want to get started with this team offensively, because I think that's where a lot of fans' questions are at right now. Again, the Lions only managing to post 6 points, 2 field goals in the game. They did not get into the end zone. And for all that we've seen from Zach Zenner running the football the last couple of weeks, Zenner was non-existent. The receivers, of course, had their issues yesterday. Outside of a few plays, they had Marvin Jones, a pretty nice day, 4 catches, 81 yards. When you look at the totality of the Lions and their offense, even with an injured Matthew Stafford, who or what do you place blame on for the offense's issues yesterday?
Well, the issues are kind of multifaceted here. Obviously, the Lions kind of didn't have that running game all season. Where they did make up for it during most of the season with that short passing game. And I think you saw the Lions struggle down the stretch a lot because of the loss of Theo Riddick. A lot of people, I think, forgot about how integral he was in the passing game of this offense. He actually led the team in passing or receiving touchdowns despite missing those last four or five games. He was a huge part of this offense. And when he was gone, Matthew Stafford didn't really have that go-to option when the receivers weren't getting open, because for the most part, all season, these receivers weren't really getting open. And as we saw last night, when they were getting open, they didn't really have sure hands either. So that really kind of tied the offense's hands behind their back, and we saw them really struggle down the stretch.
Yeah, definitely. That was a huge issue for the Lions. The drops yesterday were a big factor. And if you listen to our broadcast here in the station, you heard Dan Miller and Jim Brandstatter talk about it, especially a play where Golden Tate is in position for a big gain. He drops a ball. There were a lot of drops by the Lions receivers yesterday. And of course, you mentioned, Jeremy, the running game with Theo Riddick and Ameer Abdullah out suffered big time in the absence of those two players. Zach Zenner had success running the football in weeks past, but despite that, the Lions finished the season on a 4-game losing streak. Zach Zenner only 11 carries yesterday, 34 yards. Looking ahead to both this game and looking ahead to the future, where do you see his role with this team next year? Do you see Riddick and Abdullah fully healthy? And what do you expect out of those guys to sort of take the pressure off of Matthew Stafford going into next season?
Well, yeah, I think Zenner at this point is going to take a backup, probably even a third string role where he probably belongs. He doesn't really have the vision or the explosion to be a full-time back. He never really expected to have that full-time role that he had to assume down the stretch. He's really more of a guy that is a change of pace or, you know, your backup strong back. As far as where the Lions go elsewhere with their running backs, I think Ameer Abdullah is expected to make a full recovery and still be the team's feature back. Where they might need some help, though, is to kind of fill that kind of heavy hitter running back role. So your Joik Bells in the past, They really need that guy who they can put in on third down, because the Lions faced a lot of third and fourth or fourth and shorts last night, and you could see they didn't really have an option. They didn't really want it to pound it down Seattle's throat because they didn't have confidence in it. So that's why you kind of saw that weird fluky play on fourth down that failed miserably. It's because the Lions don't have that running back that can put their head down, fall forward, and gain those 1 or 2 yards. That's really what this offense needs badly, and I think they might go out and get in the draft if they have to.
We're talking to Jeremy Reisman, our media guest this morning here on the Playground, managing editor at prideofdetroit.com. You can read all his work there, or you can give him a follow on Twitter at Detroit Online for any Lions questions you may have. And on the other side, Jeremy, the Seattle offense was really able to chew that Lion run defense up and spit them out yesterday. The former Wolverine and Chippewa, Thomas Rawls, had himself quite a day. 27 carries, 161 yards, a 6-yard average per carry. What did Rawls do yesterday within that Seattle offense that made him so successful, and where did you see the big glaring weaknesses for the Lion run defense yesterday?
The weakness was definitely just right up the middle there. The defensive tackles basically were a complete non-factor in this game, and then the linebackers behind them were not filling their gaps properly and not making tackles. I think linebacker has to be a huge concern for this team going forward. Obviously, we saw it early in the season with defending tight ends, but that was mostly because of injuries. Now the Lions have DeAndre Levy and Tahir Whitehead in there, and they're still not getting any better. So they have to seriously consider that position going forward. As far as Thomas Rawls, he just ran the ball down their throat. He made some good moves. He caught some defenders on the defensive line over pursuing, not keeping gap containment, and then just, you know, took every opportunity to break every tackle that he possibly could and put up career numbers for himself.
Yeah, Rawls was definitely the big factor for that Seattle offense yesterday, although I'd say Russell Wilson had himself a pretty decent day as well. The Seattle quarterback, 23 of 30, 224 yards and 2 touchdowns. And as running quarterbacks are wont to do, Jeremy, he made some plays with his feet yesterday. Yes, he did finish with a negative yardage total, but I think the way he, not just the raw numbers, but the way he was able to shift the pocket and move the pocket and make plays outside of the pocket was an issue with the Lions yesterday. Russell Wilson, again, we talked about 224 yards passing and 2 scores. When you look at Darius Slay and the rest of this secondary, what can they do going forward in the future to, what can the Lions do, I should say, to improve this secondary? And yes, you might have the issues in stopping the run as they had, but is there a way for the Lions, you think, looking at the draft, looking at free agency, to maybe focus their efforts on improving one level of this defense? Or would it be really just they need to focus on the defensive line, the secondary? Which is it, do you think, in the, looking forward to the future?
Well, I think it all starts out front. I think the Lions really need that pass rush that can disrupt quarterbacks, potentially get some turnovers with the strip sack, anything like that, because this team hasn't forced a turnover since the New Orleans game. That should be shocking for most people. That's 5 straight games with no turnovers. That being said, there are some issues in the secondary, too. I think Darius Slay is still fine. I think he's still playing up to snuff. The issue is that there's no ball hawks back there. There's no one getting hands on the ball. There's no one tallying interceptions. And the Lions also have no answer at nickel corner right now. With Quandre Diggs that went down with an injury a few weeks back, they are left with bare bones on the roster there. So I think that could potentially be a target because Quandre Diggs didn't even really play that well when he was in. But, the answer is just playmakers. The Lions don't have any playmakers really at any level of this defense, aside from maybe Darius Slay. And so, that needs to really be a priority going into the draft. And it can be on any level, really, whether it's a linebacker, defensive end, cornerback. They just need to get playmakers on this roster right now.
Jeff, can I interrupt real quick? Miz, will you play something for me? Will you play that I had made for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Lions don't win another game the rest of the season. The Giants should be able to take care of them. The team, Dale, should be do very well. The only reason they win is because one of these three teams sets down their stars. That's it. That means they'll go into playing the Pack at the end of the year and have a chance to go to the playoffs versus the Pack. One of them will go and the other one won't, and I believe the Pack win that game.
Jay-Z, our grade A prophet, he was very on point with his prediction on losing the last 4 games of the season. In fact, that's what the Lions did. They did lose their final four games and go out with a whimper. Jeremy, one final question before we let you go today. When you look at this season and the Lions 9-7, they make the playoffs for two times in three seasons under Jim Caldwell. The Lions have announced they will retain Jim Caldwell. Is Caldwell the right head coach for the Lions going forward? And if he isn't, who would you like to see the Lions target?
I'm still willing to give this guy a chance. I know a lot of people are down on him after the collapse to end the season, but I think more than anything, that collapse proved to me personally, at least, that this roster was bare bones. This roster was not nearly as good as I think some people expected them to be. The wide receivers weren't as good as advertised. Defensively, like I said, just no playmakers on the roster. The roster actually did end with 11 of their 53 men rookies on the roster going into the playoffs. That's rough, but that's also a good sign that maybe Bob Quinn is doing an okay job building this team with youth. So I'd like to see at least one more year with Caldwell, hopefully with a little bit more talent next year, and see what he can do. And if he can bring him back to the playoffs again, you have to honor that as an accomplishment at this point.
All right. He's Jeremy Reisman. He's our guest this morning on the Playground. You can read all of his work at prideofdetroit.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Detroit Online. Jeremy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, that was Jeremy Reisman.
Kelvin Johnson didn't have a single catch all year long. That's what's wrong with this team, man.
I know, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kelvin Johnson?
I mean, hey.
How can you let that guy not have a catch?
If Seattle can bring back old players that apparently they can, you know, apparently stem a team, why couldn't the Lions? Why couldn't they bring back Calvin? Oh, wait. I don't think he really wanted to come back.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right, that wraps up our show for this morning. For Matt Missler, for Tonio, for Josh Zinke, my name is Jeffrey Childs. Thank you for listening to The Playground here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket.